Do you know what, Jen? I don't think I've ever looked better in my life. I think I'm at the peak of my physical prowess.
I think you are.
At the moment. And yeah. I would love to share that with people. I'd love people to be able to see me in the flesh.
It's selfish to keep this.
It is. This amount of radiance needs to be shared. So I thought what I would do is invite people along to see me in real life.
To be in the same room at the Museum of Comedy.
At the Museum of Comedy, because comedy is what I do most of the time.
And you belong in a museum.
No.
It was, how rude.
My self-esteem had climbed and now it's back down on the floor. But no, I love the Museum of Comedy and I'm going to go there and I'm going to take my raw magnetism with me on Wednesday the 24th of April.
Can I come too?
You can. Just try not to sort of detract from my glow, you know.
Okay.
We are going to have the magnificent Jenny Ryan, a magnificent guest.
Ooh.
TBA. Wednesday the 24th of April. Put it in your diaries. Bring your sunglasses because I am shining.
Yeah, get your tickets now. The link is in our social media or from the Museum of Comedy website.
Oh, please do come. Jen's all right as well.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
What's your name?
Jenny Ryan.
Correct. What's my name?
Lucy Porter.
Correct. What are we doing?
We're making a podcast all about quizzing.
Correct. What's it called?
Fingers on Buzzers.
Correct. Hello and welcome to another episode of Fingers on Buzzers.
Oh, it's good to be back in the studio.
Oh, and you know, I have got a good feeling about today because we are talking about one of my favourite things of all time. It's a...
Toblerone.
Yes. We might mention Toblerone because they are, of course, Swiss. And
oh, very continental.
Very continental. And we are taking a European tour on this episode because we are concentrating on going for gold.
Magnificent.
One of my favourites and absolutely a firm listener favourite. Mm. We've had so much excitement about this. So we will be talking to the man himself.
No.
John Suchet. No. The original host of Going for Gold, Henry Kelly. Oh. I'm delighted to say will be on the line asking, who am I? Possibly. If he does he know who he is? He probably does know who he is.
We are very privileged.
We are immensely privileged. We're also very privileged to have one of the original contestants representing Sweden. Sweden. We have John Thelling.
Yes. Down the line.
All the way from...
Well, he's not in Sweden anymore.
Oh.
He's in Germany.
Oh, he's in Germany.
He's in Germany.
Oh, well, at least he's on the continent. At least we'll get the ringtone. We should play the ringtone out to the listeners.
Yeah.
Boop, boop. Oh, he's abroad. You always get that, don't you? You go, oh, they're abroad.
Ooh, that's, someone's oh, doing all right
someone's
for themselves.
Doing all right. They're on a continental holiday. So we'll be talking to him. And we're going to go through Going for Gold and unpick it and work out the secrets of its majesty. It's still going in France, did you know?
Question pour un champion.
Oui, oui, c'est ça. So we will be doing all things Going for Gold. So, willkommen, bienvenue, bemvindo. I've run out. Welcome to our Going for Gold special. So, Jenny, pitch the scene. I'm at home. I'm a teenager, sort of late teens, really. And I've just watched Neighbours.
Yep.
I'm probably off from school because I was, you know, wagging it. Bunking off, whatever you call it in your part of the world. And just watch Neighbours. I'm just gearing up to watch Andy Crane on Children's BBC.
From the broom cupboard.
And in the middle of that, we hear... The heat is on, the time is right. And as the music of Hans Zimmer strikes up, I get very excited because it's time for Going for Gold. From 1987 to 1996, we as British people, and indeed the people of Europe, enjoyed 703 episodes in 10 series.
I certainly enjoyed all of those episodes.
Never missed a one.
I probably didn't really miss any of them. It was part of the afternoon culture, shall we say.
It was, so yeah. So I was 14 when it started. You must have been a wee baby.
I was five. So 1987. I remember watching it and thinking it's an impossibly glamorous prize. Because the main prize was always sort of a gold theme. So the first series, you won a all expenses trip to the Seoul Olympics.
1998 Seoul Olympics. Yeah. And it was intended, I believe, just to be a one-off series to win that prize. So they called it Going for Gold, gold medals. And then it was so successful that they decided to just run and run it. So Going for Gold, let's just have some basic facts. It was made by Reg Grundy.
Good old Reg.
The Australian production company.
He made everything at that time. They made everything that I liked on the telly,
really. Well, I think because
Neighbours, yeah.
It was just a Reg Grundy hour on the BBC there. And Going for Gold used the now familiar but then revolutionary repêchage.
Yes, you had your lineup of contestants, and if you didn't get through, you got to come back.
That's it, at the start of the week.
And so there are many shows that use that now.
And then, yeah, and then you've got eliminated during the week, and then you got to come back.
Yeah.
And one of the brilliant things about it was that the prize was always gold-related in some way. And they had to stretch a bit to find some of those prizes.
You're going to reach after a little while.
There was a trip to the Gold Coast in Australia.
Yeah.
Going panning for gold.
Mm-hmm.
A trip to Tony Hadley's house to him sing Spandau Ballet's Hit Gold. I don't think that was one of the prizes.
No, that is an impossibly glamorous prize.
That would have been an amazing prize. So shall we go through the format? So
yes.
It was produced...
It's going to sound really convoluted when you just talk about it, though.
I know, well, this is what
you
I've
done,
You
need to be though. In it to
You're going to be in it, Jen, because I am going to go through round by round, and you are going to play... As if you are. Now, which European country would you like to be from? So for those of you who aren't familiar with the series, there would be a series of contestants from different
They'd all be waving
nations.
In a little coin at the start.
They'd all be
with
waving.
With a little flag.
Wearing pastel colours because it was the 80s. And you didn't really get to know anything about them until latter round.
No, it's right into the quiz.
It was, yes.
If you can't quiz, you're not worth finding any more about.
That's exactly it. Yeah, you're expendable.
Yeah.
Right. So we start off and round one... is Who Am I? Okay.
Beautiful.
So, Henry Kelly. Now, do you want me to do the accent? This is something that we haven't
Will it be offensive?
Yes. Yes, it will. It will be deeply offensive.
Please
even
do
though,
it then.
I mean, my family are Irish, so I should get a free pass, but. What is my name?
What was that?
I don't really know. I'll keep trying it.
Okay.
If it works, it doesn't. Right, okay. So this would be the thing. So Henry Kelly.
And I've got a big buzzer here.
Cracking straight away. There'd be no preamble.
No.
You'd have a massive buzzer.
They were big.
Detonation style, you know, what you would press to activate the nuclear codes. Big buzzer. What is my name? I am a body of water with an area of 8,300 square kilometres. I am the second largest lake on my continent. I lie at an altitude of 3,810 metres, making me the world's highest navigable lake.
Buzz.
Yes.
I'm going to say Lake Titicaca.
You're right.
Hey,
I might drop the accent.
I'm representing the Republic of Bolton, obviously.
A little European outpost in the northwest. Okay, so that's the basic format. I'll do you another one.
Yeah.
I'll do you another one. Okay. I am an animal that is found worldwide. In the West, I am the subject of unfavourable myths. But in the Orient, I am often considered to be... Oh, Finland's buzzed in. And they're going,
oh, no.
Easy to bear. And no, it's not Finland. Sorry, You're frozen out.
Oh, no.
But in the Orient, I am often considered to be a good luck symbol.
Oh.
I am a mammal, and my different varieties feed on insects, fruit, pollen and nectar, while one species is famous for feeding on blood.
Oh, Buzz.
Buzz, it's the People's Republic of Bolton.
It's a bat.
It is a bat.
Aww.
I'll do you one more.
Go on.
Okay. Who am I? I am an American stand-up comedian and actor who was born in Brooklyn in 1961. At the age of 19, I became a regular cast member on the television show Saturday Night Live and have had hits with films such as Coming to America.
Buzz.
Yes.
Eddie Murphy.
Yes.
There we go.
Very good. So there we go. So that was round one.
That was only, well, it was sort of round one.
Okay, yeah, that was kind of, oh, yes.
Well, that was the elimination.
That was the elimination round. Yeah. And then we move on to, as Henry Kelly called it,
the first round proper.
The first round proper.
He was owning that format. He was renaming things left, right and centre.
I know, but the catchphrase has caught on. So round two was beat the buzzer. So you could choose a 1, 2 or 3 point question. So you'd get an initial question and then you could choose how many points you wanted to go for. So your starter question is going to be, an octet is a group of how many?
Buzz.
Yes.
Well, I'm not really sure with your pronunciation. I'm going to say eight.
Yes, I said an octet. It could have sounded like an octet. Yes, eight. Right, so your next question is languages. How many points do you want?
I'll go three.
Okay. What type of building is a Schloss?
Buzz. Do I have to buzz? Oh, it's my question.
No, you still have to buzz. Everyone could buzz
yeah,
in
buzz.
At this point.
Yeah, buzz. It's a castle.
Yes. So, and it was the first to six. So I'll just see if I can get you to six. Okay, pop music.
I can't believe I beat Germany to that.
No, it's amazing, isn't it? The German contestant's weeping. Pop music, how many do you want?
Oh, three. Pop music.
Under Attack was an 80s hit for which Swedish pop group?
Roxette?
Nope. That goes to... Oh, that's gone to Spain.
Oh,
Little Spain. Jose, the Spanish contestant, got that was ABBA for 3 points.
Oh, right. I'm...
Astronomy.
1987. I need to put my mind in 1987.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Astronomy, how many points do you want?
Two. Yeah.
Okay. The Great Red Spot is an atmospheric feature of which planet?
Buzz, Jupiter.
Congrats. Right. So you've now got 4 points. So geography, how many points do you want?
Oh, God.
You need two.
Go for two then.
Two.
Thank you. Thanks, Henry, for
he wasn't
helping me tactically.
Which American city is known as Mile High?
Buzz.
Mm-hmm.
Denver.
Yes. She's through to the next round. Bolton has progressed. Okay, well done, Jenny. You're representing the People's Republic of Bolton and you have got through the first two rounds.
Fantastic.
So you are now going into round three, but...
If this was on Channel 5, this is where the phone-in, listener phone-in would come in.
Well, do you know what? We're going to do
Ad
something
break.
Very similar.
Okay.
So we're going to have a break here because we're going to chat to an actual Going for Gold contestant and then we will return to the format.
Okay.
On the line with us now, we have, I'm very excited to say, we have John, who we've just been discussing the pronunciation of your surname, John Thelin?
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 Thelin? Thelin? Anything is fine.
Wherever you are in the world, it's you will have your own pronunciation. And you are an actual bona fide Going for Gold contestant.
That is true, yes.
Very excited. So please share with us your memories of appearing on the show.
Well, appearing on the show, well, the interesting thing, what I find the most interesting was that they stipulated that you needed to bring a tie. I have never worn a tie in my life, or had not at the time. And so they got me a tie for the first show, first episode that we shot. And then at lunch, it was getting in my soup and I was like, this is not working. So they got me a bow tie instead. And because this was out at Pinewood, it was a bow tie that had belonged to Dirty Den from the East End.
Wow!
Did that mean anything to you at the time?
Yes.
Okay.
I may have an American accent, but I'm pretty up on British popular culture and stuff. So yeah, I knew what that meant.
Knew about Dirty Den, Den and Ench, all of that.
Exactly.
Merry Christmas, Ench.
So you were carrying the spirit of Leslie Grantham with you as you went into the quiz. And
right.
So can you remember anything about your opponents? Where in the world were they all from?
From all over the place. I remember specifically an Italian man whose name was Dan David because it was such an un-Italian name. and he... On the first night that we stayed at the hotel, the fire alarm went off at like 4 a.m. And so we all had to evacuate. It was not a big deal, as it turned out, but we all had to evacuate. So we're standing out there in the parking lot. And Mr. Dan David had brought from his hotel room his entire set of an encyclopedia.
Oh, wow.
Because evidently, and he would spend time in this encyclopedia, like boning up on random facts, I guess, in hopes of doing better.
That's a serious quizzer, isn't it? That in the event of a fire, you wouldn't save your pets or your family.
Nope,
you would save your encyclopedias.
Exactly. So I remember that. I also remember that there was Henry Kelly said some. The question was something about I am a dance, and then listed some and he Dan David was going mazurka, but he kept forgetting to push the button. So he's going mazurka,
and then somebody
else busted in and said waltz, no, and he went mazurka, and somebody else buzzed in and said something else, and he was just sitting there going mazurka, which turned out to be right. So.
God, he's probably sitting somewhere in Italy in a room, in a darkened room now, rocking back and forth, just going mazurka. It was mazurka.
It was mazurka, yes.
Oh my goodness. And so how did he get on? And more importantly, how did you get on? How far did you progress?
I got into the final on the first day and lost out to Juliette from France, who I later became fairly good friends with and actually went to visit in Paris. I remember vividly, of course, because like you've said so many times on the show before, that you always remember the one that gets you knocked out.
Absolutely. What was it for you then, John?
You know the basic structure of the 4-3-2-1 and going for gold, right?
Yeah.
And you can pass or play. And she had 5 points. So if I had decided to play, it was my turn. If I decided to play, she could not have won in that round.
Okay.
But Henry Kelly goes, category is the Bible, and I just freak out and I just pass.
Oh no, so you handed the victory.
Tactical error. Oh.
And then this is the question.
Okay.
We are a biblical couple. Our story is usually known as the story of creation. It's like not even halfway down the board.
Oh, no.
And
gosh.
So I was like, yeah, that's how I got knocked out.
What
I
feel a for tragedy.
You, it's terrible.
Do you know what, though? It's such a common thing, though, isn't it, that you just hear a subject and you freak out and you go, that. If it's sport, I just go, no, thank you.
Yep.
And all tactics. And I mean, this was why it was a good format. And so did you then come back the next day?
I did come back the next day. But at that point, I think I'd kind of figured out that I wasn't interested in the grand prize. And I was like, well, I'm not going to make it. I may possibly get out of this week. But I don't think I was strong enough to go to semifinals or make it all the way to the finals. But I mean, I could definitely have won my week if I had applied myself, I think.
Can you remember what the prize was? What gold-themed prize they were offering?
It was like a trip to Australia or something, and I just wanted money. I was like, when I heard about it, my mother was the one who said, oh, they've got this show in England called Going for Gold. You should apply for it. And I'm like,
real gold.
Yeah, exactly. I thought I was going to get money because, you know, I'd lived in America. So that's where they win all the big prizes.
Yes, because we weren't allowed to give proper prizes away in those days on British telly.
No.
You just had to give a trip, a slightly low budget trip to Australia.
Goods or...
I mean, I think it was. I seem to remember it was you went panning for gold.
And I think, yes, exactly. You know,
that was probably to earn your return fare back to Europe, to be honest.
Exactly.
So how many days were you actually holed up in Pinewood for?
Not that many. What happened was because I was knocked out, I also lost my hotel room. Because you only get a hotel room for as long as you... And I kind of wanted to stay because I was enjoying it. I was having a good time. I'd made some friends.
You and
the
French woman sound like you were getting pretty cozy. So,
best mix. Oh, yeah. She actually ended up dating one of the production assistants.
Oh. God, it was all going on for gold, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Saucy times.
And honestly, and you talk about my name here and how to pronounce it. It was they had production assistants that come up to you and to keep your energy up when they're doing camera changes or whatever. Resets of various kinds. So to keep your energy up, they have to talk to you so that you when it comes time to start filming again, you're not just low energy.
Yeah.
And one, I had never thought of this before because I grew up in Sweden and Austria and in America. And so I was like 23 at the time, I think. And this woman, one of the production assistants, in trying to have something to talk about, she says to me, well, you know, you're from Sweden. So your name isn't actually John. It's Jon. That had never occurred to me that was like a different name, in a sense. And it was that really blew my mind. I think that was one of the big takeaways for me. So, and she has no idea how much she changed my life with that. But yeah,
that's probably why you did do very well. Yeah, yeah, exactly. After that, you were still shocked. Who am I? Well, someone, who am I?
Someone had psyched you out with a fire alarm on the first night, and then I tell you what, I suspect that Dan David from Italy was probably, you know, probably trying to rig it. He probably bribed her to blow your mind. And he'd set his fire alarm and come out with his encyclopedias to throw you all off. It's extraordinary.
Mazurka.
Time.
Mazurka. Yeah.
So, and that experience of quizzing, just one quick question. Henry Kelly, a genius saint, angel man, was he lovely to you?
Yeah. Oh, he was. Of course he was. And, but, you know, much as I say that I do have an idea of British popular culture, I don't think I'd actually heard the phrase good on you the way as much as he used it. I never really understood it. I mean, I understood that it meant good job or not quite congratulations, but, you know, it was one of those. He kept saying that, good on you.
It can be used in so many ways. It can be patronising.
It can be so patronising, but also genuine.
But so the whole experience didn't put you off quizzing, did it, John? Because you are still
not
involved.
I am. Yeah, I am a quiz master right now. I have a drag pub quiz.
Wow.
You're saying all my trigger words here, John.
Yeah, Jenny is basically RuPaul's Drag Race is her favourite thing.
Well, I've been doing drag for about a year and a half. I'm currently halfway in makeup. I've covered my eyebrows and I'm letting it set. And I have my drag character is Emma Chizit. She is a pub landlady from Clacton-on-Sea in Essex.
Amazing.
And she runs this pub quiz here every fortnightly. I would say bi-weekly. And then my friend noted that, you know, bi-weekly is that American phrase that means either twice a week or every 2 weeks or 2 weeks. So I was like, it's fortnightly.
Get your fill of Emma Chizit.
Yeah, exactly. But the reason I got into drag was I came up with the name because I was like, well, if I do drag, I could do like an Essex accent, which I can kind of do. And then that's I had to check it, and I YouTubed it, and there was this woman talking about the Essex accent, and she said, "Well, here in Essex, we don't say how much is it, we say Emma Chizit." And I'm like, "Oh, fuck it, I got
it."
There
we go. There you go. That's it. That's your drag ego. Perfect. Yeah, well, we shall be over to Berlin any minute to come and
I'm booking flights right now.
We'll come every 2 weeks. We'll come both bi-weekly and fortnightly, just to catch
feel free to Google the Emma Chizit Drag Pub Quizit.
Yes. So just tell us where the venue is, just so that I don't even have to
Google. It's called Ludwig. It's in here in Berlin.
Lovely.
It's a queer bar, and they have been extremely supportive and so helpful, because I walked in trying to sell this idea to them and I was like all charged up. I'm like, oh, I'm going to have to fight to get them to buy this concept. And they just went, oh, yeah, great.
As they should. It's a pub quiz with an Essex drag queen. I mean, that is,
it's the dream.
Yeah. And even when we only had like 5 people one time, they were like, yeah, cool, let's keep going.
Keep it going.
Well, you will certainly have more now, so we will spread the word about that. And thank you so much for sharing your memories of going for gold.
And thank you so much.
So now, on our special Going for Gold-themed episode, we have a listener quiz.
Of course we do, because we always have a listener quiz now.
But this one is Going for Gold-themed.
Yay!
The lovely Claudio in Barnet has sent us a Going for Gold-themed quiz.
Well, I'm thanking you now.
Yeah, well, let's see how we go. And our lovely producer, Amanda, is going to pose the questions to both of us.
I certainly am. As you just said, it's a gold theme, which is...
So it's gold.
Gold-themed, yes. Like the prizes.
Okay, yes.
So thanks very much for that, Claudio. So I'll just get cracking, shall I?
Please do.
Which town in Australia was the site of one of the earliest gold strikes and has subsequently had a beer named after it?
Oh, Castlemaine.
Correct.
I was going to go for Foster's.
Victoria Bitter. No.
Question number 2. In the 1933 film I'm No Angel, which Hollywood actress says a gold
buzz?
Buzz. Jenny.
Mae West.
Correct. Right, so I'm going to ask you now if you would like history or science, Jenny.
Oh, neither.
It doesn't really make any difference, because you're going to get the one that you don't pick is going to be the question after that.
Okay, we'll have history first then.
Okay, so history. Who am I? I was born October the 8th, 1810 in New Jersey. I left New Jersey in 1834 and headed west, and in 1844 began farming on the Missouri River. So nobody's buzzed in. So I'm going to give the name, but then I want you to say what they're famous for. So my name is James W. Marshall, and on the morning of January the 24th, 1848, what did I find?
Buzz.
Lucy.
Some gold.
He did. It was the one that instigated the gold rush.
Yeah. So, I mean, it seems so obvious in hindsight, doesn't it?
You've got a point there. So the next question is... Science.
Buzz.
Great.
I think
just tell us the question, but I'm pretty confident I know the answer.
You're going to know this too. What is the atomic number of gold?
Oh, actually, I didn't.
It is
20. Buzz, 24.
No. Well, I can give you the answer and then give you another question as an extra point.
AU.
The atomic number is 79.
Higher than the thing.
So for the point, its symbol is AU. Does AU come from?
Or
Latin.
Latin for gold.
Or. I think you just got in there first, Lucy, didn't you?
None of us buzzed. Yeah.
Neither of us buzzed.
Just collapsed, but...
Lucy can have that, it's fine.
It is Latin and means shining dawn. So,
aurora.
Yeah.
The aurora, yeah.
Aurora.
Okay, so question number 5. Which Japanese cartoon was first aired in the UK in 1982? Lucy!
Mysterious Cities of Gold!
Yes!
We will find.
I'm going to say that we're going to.
Cities of gold. Yeah, that was beautiful. Sorry.
I'm going to say that we'll go for the tiebreaker question because I think you've got about 2 each. Should we do that?
Yeah.
So
definitely.
Get ready on your mouth buzzers for this because you're both going to know it. What general name is given to any various yellow or gold-coloured minerals which can be mistaken?
Buzz.
Jenny.
Fool's gold.
Yes.
Wonderful
knew it.
Song by the Stone Roses as well. Well, that was a brilliant quiz. Thank you very much, Claudio. And I think you won that one again. You went for gold and you got it.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We are joined on the line by the journalist and broadcaster and from 1987 to 1996, the host of Going for Gold, which is, I have to say, it's the one and only Henry Kelly. Hello, Henry.
Hello, how are you?
Very good. Well, we are so excited to have you with us because we do our quizzing podcast and all of our listeners repeatedly tell us that one of their absolute favourites is Going for Gold. It's a classic. Do you have fond memories of it yourself?
Oh, I do. I love this. We thought at first it would last 1 year because that was for the original Going for Gold was based around the South Korean Olympics in Seoul. Mm-hmm. And the gold was... you know, going for gold in Seoul, and a trip. It was the winner got a trip to South Korea. And then we did it, and in the middle of the summer next year, we'll do it again. Then we had to scramble around every now and then to find some reason that gold could still stay there. When it was first conceived, it came from the United States. It was called Rush for the Money. and there was no preliminary round. There was the beat the buzzer, four in a row, and then the final. But when it came to it, Michael Grade, who was then in charge of BBC television, didn't like the word money in a quiz programme.
No.
He thought, I think Grady thought it was vulgar.
Mm.
Anyway, so it became going for gold. Well, we had tremendous fun scrambling for reasons why it could still be called going for gold and what would the prize be. Then we had Australia. Australia has buried gold somewhere. Then we had somewhere in Africa, the Gold Coast. Then we discovered in Mauritius that they had some connection with gold, and so it went on and went on.
That was some good researching from someone, finding all those gold connections.
I think there was a bit of research and a bit of invention, to be quite honest.
Well, there's a lot of gold in the world, isn't there? I'm sure you could always find something.
You're quite right. There's a lot of gold in the world. But the thing about going for gold was my long-term executive producer, Kerry Bunce, who started off as one of the researchers, she was once asked, what was the difference between a one-point question, a two-point question, and a three-point question? And Kerry said, if I know the question and the answer, it's 1 point. If I know the question but I have difficulty with the answer, it's 2 points. And if I haven't never heard of the question and I don't know the answer, that's 3 points. It was a very gentle quiz, and it attracted, certainly for the first 8 out of 10 series, it genuinely attracted people from all over continental Europe. I mean, at one stage, we had a man, in fairness to him, he wasn't the most exciting man, but he was a decent fella, and he was a librarian in the Vatican in Rome.
Wow.
Our second winner was a wonderful man called Stein Erik Mattsson from Norway, who nearly dislocated my shoulder when he grabbed me when he'd won.
I see. Yes, I remember that fondly.
Yeah. And Stein Erik used to, whenever he got to a daily final, he'd always put a blank card down on the desk in front of him. Nothing on it. And I often wondered what it was. And it was only when he won that he turned it around and he showed me that it was a tourist card of a photograph of the King of Norway.
Oh.
And I thought that was so sweet. And when he got back to Oslo, he let the King know that he'd won this internationally famous quiz program, and the King invited him to the palace in Oslo to congratulate him.
Oh, I mean, sweet.
There were so many nice, gentle stories.
Yes. Well, it was, I mean, the first episode actually is on YouTube to watch, and I really enjoyed it because there was a guy called Hans Manns who was...
Hans Manns?
Yes.
He had been the Austrian ambassador to Australia.
Wow.
I know, yes. Amazing. And he'd been at the Olympics.
Yes. That's right. And he later became what are known as eminent persons, people who have risen to high office in their own countries, as he had been an ambassador, and was an observer at, I think, the first general election in Namibia, or I think it was Namibia. Hans was a distinguished person.
Wow.
I kept in touch with a good few of them. I remember myself and my family were going through Geneva Airport one day, and a lady came up and stood in front of me, and she said, hello, Henry. And I thought, who on earth is this?
A strange woman accosting you in the airport.
Well, she was ground staff from the airport, and she said to me, where are your tickets? And I thought, you know, we've been recalled for some reason. Mm-hmm. And she went away, she came back and had bumped us up a class.
Nice.
And then I remembered, and she was a wonderful lady. Her name was Mika Pohlmann, and she had twin daughters, both of whom had been to university. And the reason I remember her particularly was I thought it was very unusual. Her two daughters had been at university in the Netherlands, and they had majored in Latin and Greek.
Wow.
For goodness sake.
Goodness me.
Yeah, who does Latin and Greek these days? Alas.
Via Dutch as well. That's amazing, yes. Isn't it? Well, because we actually spoke to one of the contestants that you had on, a lovely Swedish man called John Thielen, and he was saying that he had a fantastic time because, you know, they all stayed over together in the hotel.
Yes, that's right.
And they all made friends. And it does sound like, yep, a wonderfully kind of cosy, chummy show.
It was.
Yeah.
It was.
And you worked hard though, didn't you? How many did you do in a day?
Well, on the last series, I got about 90 cheap T-shirts from somewhere in Manchester. We used to record it in Manchester, and I got blue T-shirts, the type of thing you can get for £3 or something like that, and will disappear after one wash. But we got the Going for Gold logo, and on the front it said, "Going for Gold, people do it," and on the back it said, 8 times a day.
That's quite an impressive count there, 8 times a day.
Well, do you know something? I tell you what, Lucy, it's easier to do that number than it is to do one or two. In the first few years, when we were trying to learn how to do it, it took us forever. We used to do 2 shows a day, Saturday and Sunday, in Television Centre, only every fortnight. Mm-hmm. The set had to be put in, then struck. In again 2 weeks, 2 weeks later, and then struck, and so on and so forth. Now, once you get on, as the late Jeremy Beadle, my dear friend, said to me, he said, "That's a doddle, isn't it, H?" He said, "You're just like a little hamster going around in the wheel."
Yeah, just start you off at the beginning of the day and then that's it, that's you. You must have been exhausted at the end of it, though.
It was pretty tiring, but you know something? And I bet you other quiz program hosts and hostesses will say the same thing. It can be so rewarding in its own way that you forget that you're tired until the series is over. And in my case, coming back from Manchester to London on the Saturday morning train, God, I'd be asleep before it left the Blooming Station.
Oh, my goodness.
You know, that's when it would catch up on you.
And did you ever find the theme tune stuck in your head? Because I know most of the rest of us have woken up singing that theme tune at some point.
It's stuck in my head. Now, do you know something interesting? I managed. You know who wrote that? That was written by a man called Hans Zimmer.
Mm. Oscar.
Now, Hans Zimmer is also the man who won an Oscar because he wrote the theme music for Gladiator.
Yes. I mean, I still think the Going for Gold theme is better.
I do. Yeah, I agree.
It's certainly catchier than anything that was on Gladiator.
It's very catchy. But I remember once going into the gallery because we thought we needed to do a small recording again. We thought there'd been some fluff. As it turned out, there wasn't. But I had to stand there and watch the beginning. To my utter amazement, the entire crew in the gallery were all singing the theme music.
As they should. You can't not. It's like the Shake and Back advert. Do you remember that one? It's there's certain tunes that you cannot sing. And did you like quizzing before? Has it left you with the taste for quizzing since?
No.
I mean,
look, the position is this, Lucy. If asked, will do. As a journalist friend of mine used to say, the rule in journalism is have gone, will travel.
Yes.
If somebody asked me to do something and I could do it, I would do it.
Oh, well, we're so glad you said yes, because it was what it was because of you as well. And you're wonderful. The warmth of the contestants and the kindness. I always think that the nicest thing was that you didn't ever say anyone was losing. You would say, you're playing catch up.
Yes.
That's true, yes. There was another wonderful man who also won it, Luke Ruktas from Belgium. Mm-hmm. Now, Luke, any time people say to you, oh, go on, name a famous Belgian, and everybody goes, oh, Hercule Poirot, ha, ha, ha. Well, Luke was terrific. Now, he got to the final. He was in a very tricky position because his opponent was on 6 points and Luke was on 4. And you needed 8 or 9 to win. Mm-hmm. And up came this card. And I said, look, his opponent had a choice to play or pass. And up came the title of the question. And the lady on my left chose to pass. And as I looked at the card, I thought, that's a very good decision, because this question is really, really difficult. The question was singing, and it said, I began as a form of communications between farmers. Bang! Goes, yes. Look. And I thought, yeah, you've blown it now, mate. You've blown it. And I can hear his voice. I promise you, to this day, he goes, yodeling.
Aye.
And I thought to myself, how the hell could you know that? Up he goes tonight. Game over.
Fantastic.
What? Most bizarre question. And he got the answer right. And afterwards I said to him, how did you know that? He said, one of those things I just know. He was a wonderful guy.
That's a stylish way to win.
And when we were in the hotel afterwards, he insisted, because we would buy a drink and meals for people. Luke insisted that the drinks were on him. Aww. He said, I have always wanted to go into a bar and say, the drinks are on me.
Oh, what a lovely, lovely dream to make come true as well. That's
exactly.
Oh, do you know what? Well, I'm so delighted that our warmth and affection for the show is, you know, I was dreading that you were going to come on and that you'd say, oh, it was awful. We had a terrible time.
Oh, no, you know? No. Oh, gosh, well, we loved every second of it.
And
so did the whole crew, you know. They were wonderful. It was tricky in London, because we were learning how to do it. Then we moved to Elstree for a while, where I used to play snooker with some of the cast of EastEnders.
Nice.
Then we moved to Manchester, and I think apart from anything else, Manchester, that was the time when the BBC was, you know, you could never tell who was making the programme, you know, production this, production that. The Grundy organisation hired the studios in Manchester.
The Oxford Road, the BBC Oxford Road, or?
Yes, on the Oxford Road, the very place, and the BBC made it such that if you looked at the credits, it always had to have BBC executive producer and so on and so forth. And of course the wheel came full circle, because the last few series the executive producer was Alan Boyd, who had been the producer director of Game for a Laugh.
Oh wow, gosh. So it's a small TV family that you
He never really understood the programme. Because when we came to 4 in a row, the first day Alan came up, and I said to him, are you staying? And he said, I haven't booked anywhere yet. I said, I give you half an hour and then get the next train home because you'll only be in the way.
Yeah.
and it, we came to the walkthrough. You know, we were doing the tech run. He came to the walkthrough for four in a row. And Alan says to me, why is it called four in a row when there's only three people?
See,
so I said, Alan, four in a row is the questions.
You know, executive producers, don't we all love them? Don't we all love them?
So he got the next train.
Oh, that's, if only we could send all executive producers home, that would be ideal. Well, it's been such an absolute pleasure talking to you, Henry. We're
well,
so
it's very
delighted.
Kind of you to ask me.
Well,
it's been a pleasure talking to you.
Not only us, but all of our listeners I know, and the whole of the UK, and indeed the whole of Europe. Thank you for going for gold. It was an absolute classic. Thank you so much, Henry Gelly.
Pleasure.
It's time to wrap up the Going for Gold special, Jen.
Oh.
I know, and we haven't even finished the format because I started off... I started you with the first two rounds, well, with the elimination round and the first round proper at the top of the show, as
first
Henry
round proper, yeah,
called
yeah.
it. And now we're coming up to four in a row. So explain us, how did four in a row work, Jen?
You've got to get four questions right.
You do.
And it's represented by little building blocks that are on the front of your podium.
That's correct. Oh. Now let's see if you can get four in a row.
No. Oh.
Okay, so I'll start. Do you want entertainment, 1986, or world politics?
Entertainment.
Entertainment.
Obviously.
A Day at the Races starred which group of brothers?
Max.
The Spanish classical singer is Placido who?
Domingo.
In which country is Madame Butterfly set?
Japan.
The Pirates of Penzance is a comic opera written by who?
Gilbert and Sullivan.
Yeah, you got four
hey!
In a row, easily. You could have had one more question. Which actor played Bond in the 1987 film, The Living Daylights? It's The Living Daylights.
Was that Roger Moore? It wasn't Roger Moore, was it?
No,
Dalton.
Timothy Dalton.
Dalton. It's Dalton era.
But anyway, it doesn't matter. You got four in a row, so you would be through to the head-to-head.
Right. Oh, my dreams are coming true today.
The head-to-head round.
Was this the bit where you had... the different points were available as the question went on.
Yes.
The time went on. So there was a big block for four.
Yeah.
And then three and two and one. So if you got in early, you could get 4 points and just, you could be through, really.
So I'm going to give you Southeast Asia. Are you going to play or pass?
I'm going to have to play because I'm not sure who I'm playing against.
You pass it to me, but I know the answer.
There you go. That's not fair.
Okay. So see how quickly you can get it. Okay. I am one of this century's most prominent revolutionary and anti-colonialists who brought a world-class power into a state of crisis. Born in a French colony in Southeast Asia, I travelled widely before setting up the Indochinese Communist Party.
I'll buzz in there and say Ho Chi Minh.
Ho Chi Minh.
But I think that can't have been in the four. I must have got 3 points.
You were probably
that.
In the 3 points.
I was trying to represent this with my. It's great for a podcast.
Yeah.
With my
Jenny
hand
was doing
going
a,
downwards.
Her hand was representing the.
Yeah,
time
but I didn't
down.
Really know where
but
the.
You did very well. Yeah. Here we go. You'll get this one quickly.
Okay.
The Bible. I was the Roman prefect of Judea under the Emperor Tiberius and a Roman knight. But you know
Pontius
me better
Pilate.
Than the, yeah.
Yeah.
You see, there you go. You'd be through. So you are. Going to Australia.
Well, that was the first round, though. You've got to get through to the semi-finals.
Oh, God,
it's,
yeah,
it's brutal.
True.
It's a long slog if you want to get to Australia.
Well, you are back next week. You're going to play John
from Sweden. Oh, well, he's terrible at tactics. We know this now.
Yeah, so you would have beaten him. And then the little Italian fella with his encyclopedias. And
Mazzucca!
And that French woman, the mystery French woman. So, well, it was an absolute pleasure talking to lovely John, wasn't it, from
it
Sweden?
Was.
And we will be going. If anyone wants to come, do in the comments, write what dates you're available to go to Berlin.
Yeah.
For
and what your drag name is.
And what your drag name is. Sheila Blige. That's what I know. I think it's already taken, but I'll have it as well. Sheila Blige. And we have also very much enjoyed talking to Henry Kelly.
What an absolute privilege.
Wasn't
he's that? Got some wonderful anecdotes. And I feel like we could have an entire spin-off series of podcasts where it's just us in conversation with well, not in conversation, just listening to
just
Henry.
Just listening to Henry Kelly. I could have listened to him or not. And I mean, actually, shout out though, they did revive Going for Gold and John Sue hosted it,
yeah.
And he was very good.
He was perfectly good.
So.
But it's such a tough act to follow.
It was well, though he would. I think if it had caught on, he could also have had, as Henry had his own sort of brilliant catchphrases and things. John Suchet had a very robotic delivery. So now coming up we're going to have another question. And it was really quite compelling when I watched it. It's on YouTube. You can watch it. Watch the revival. And also we should thank, as well as the legendary Henry Kelly, we had a lovely listener quiz from Claudio.
Thanks, Claudio,
for your listener quiz. That was all from the Going for Gold special, but we may well revisit Going for Gold again because it's the gift that keeps on giving.
Really is.
Thank you and goodbye.
Bye.
Fingers on Buzzers starred Lucy Porter and Jenny Ryan and was produced by Amanda Redman with music by Kevin MacLeod and Justin Edwards. Email quiz at fingersonbuzzers.com and tweet at fingersbuzzers. Thanks for listening and don't forget to join us next time for more Fingers on Buzzers.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.